Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, March the 24th, 2026, 3:24:26. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour, WGH talk time. A little chilly this morning here in central Ohio. Spring is not here yet, although this is the first Tuesday in the season of spring. We're all happy for that, but the warm weather has not quite come yet. Although we hope it will as the time goes along here very soon. Now we're going to open up the program this morning and discuss something that was very big, national news story yesterday, and we'll take it off the top here. Donna Motzinger, one of dozens of people who have alleged they were victims of the 88-year-old Cosby Show star Bill Cosby, on Monday was awarded $19.25 million in damages more than 50 years after Cosby allegedly drugged and raped her. Hours later, the jury determined Cosby owed Motzinger $40 million in punitive damages for a total of $59.25 million. The jury found that Cosby acted with malice, oppression, or fraud, according to Rolling Stone. Joining us this morning is Mr. Cosby's former publicist and crisis manager, right up through the beginning of this year, and a former guest on this program. So glad to have him back this morning, Andrew Wyatt. Andrew, how you doing?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing great. I'm disappointed and disheartened with what happened to Mr. Cosby yesterday. I feel that it's just the wrong precedent. That, you know, a person can come back with decade-old allegations, no evidence approved, and be awarded such a verdict that was really difficult to see, because I felt that Mr. Cosby was put in a position whereas he should have done a garden variety settlement, what I suggested 2 years ago after we did the Judy Huff trial in L.A., and the jury came back with a $500,000 verdict. And we talked with several of the jurors, and they spoke with Mr. Cosby, and they said we were not going to let her walk out with $10, $15, $20 million, what they were asking for. But if he had done a garden variety settlement, he could have put at least $20 million up and settle all of these civil matters, because he has over 10 plus civil matters pending still, because when California, Nevada, New York, and New Jersey amended the Child Survivor Act to the Adult Survivor Act in 2023, it went into effect on Thanksgiving of 2023, and it gave any woman in those states with no evidence of proof, it didn't matter how long ago it was, to bring a civil suit against any man that had sexual assaulted them, or they had felt that they were sexual assaulted. Mr. Cosby inherited a number of lawsuits from that, because it went into effect for 1 year, and they had up until Thanksgiving 2024. I just felt that his legal counsel should have, and she's a fine attorney. She's a great appellate attorney, and that's why I brought her on to handle his appeal for Mr. Cosby when she argued his appeal before the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. I just think that you have to go and get experts in fields like criminal and civil law to say, this is what you're up against. And if they come back and find you guilty, then it's going to be a record amount, and that's what you don't want to do. Mr. Cosby was the unfortunate beneficiary of two mass movements in the global movements in the world. And that was in 2018, he inherited the Me Too movement, which created the opportunity and the inroad for them to put him in prison and give him an unjust sentence. And now he has inherited the Epstein saga. And I just really feel that jurors today, they're just so angry. Just the world is so angry today when they see powerful celebrities being allegedly accused of sexual assault. They don't care about the case that you present unless you have a person, and this is not to toot my own horn, but Mr. Cosby needed someone out front telling his story before this trial took place.
Well, and Andrew, I think that's a big question because you've been on with us for many, many years now in regard to a lot of things going on with Mr. Cosby when he was in prison. When he got out, you facilitated two interviews with him on this program, which we appreciated. We've had you on other occasions. Why are you no longer with Mr. Cosby?
Well, it was time. It was all about time. And plus, Mr. Cosby, if you kept up with the news, he was running into a lot of financial issues as far as, you know, house going into foreclosure in New York. And it was just timing. And, you know, the way I look at it is that we did well together, but Mr. Cosby, I had done all that I could do. And Mr. Cosby needed to focus and have someone to focus on his legal issues and someone that he could afford to pay. I felt as though I didn't need to take another dime from Mr. Cosby. He needed to exhaust all his efforts in trying to sustain his lifestyle so that he could go in his golden years with Mrs. Cosby and live a great life and leave something behind, a legacy behind, and some generational wealth behind for his grandchildren.
Well, and that's an interesting question here that I think a lot of people are asking. House in foreclosure. Bill Cosby is 88 years old. Judgments like this coming down, judgments in the past, pending lawsuits, attorneys you have to retain. Is Mr. Cosby in financial trouble at this particular point? How would you qualify his financial situation?
Well, the judge in this case made Mr. Cosby and Mrs. Cosby turn over their financial records and everything that they had put in a trust. Because if you put something in a trust while civil litigation is pending, that's considered fraudulent activity because you're trying to hide things just in case a verdict like this happens. So when they evaluated his assets and his financial status, I think they evaluated that his net worth is around $128 million. And here's what you have to look at, Scott. In 2023, the Judy Health was awarded $500,000 by a jury in California, in Santa Monica. Well, Mrs. Cosby and Mr. Cosby decided they wanted to appeal it. Well, in order to appeal based on the California statute, you have to put up the $500,000 and 50% of the amount that was awarded. So they had to put up $1 million to appeal. In order to appeal this verdict, they have to put up $59.3 million plus half of that amount. So you're looking at over $100-something million that they have to put up, and which it will accrue interest daily, the money will, while on appeal. So that's not beneficial for him to appeal it. If he appeals that, you're talking about all of his wealth is gone in one civil trial when he has many more. The best thing and the strategy, if I was there, I would have said to him, look, say you're going to appeal. You say that in order to get Ms. Motzinger and her attorneys to the table. Ms. Motzinger is 84 years old. Her attorneys have been representing her for a number of years. And there are a lot of billable hours out there. And that puts you in a position to go back and negotiate and say, look, if we appeal this matter. The appellate court might not hear this case until 2-3 years from now. We don't know Ms. Motzinger's health issues, but she's 84 years old. And I'm pretty sure the attorneys don't want to run up more hours in order to represent her during an appeal. So you might be in a great position to try and settle out for maybe $25, $30 million. And that's probably your best avenue to try and get some money and basically dangle a carrot in the face of Ms. Motzinger and her legal counsel. And I don't think they're going to frown on that. You might be able to get out of it with $25 million or even $20 million. That's better than having to put up that $100-plus million to appeal this matter.
You know,
you have other civil litigation going on.
Well, and I think that's what we all look at over at this point. Over $100 million left in Mr. Cosby's possession. But if the rulings keep going this way, and there are more pending lawsuits, and certainly attorneys cost money, Mr. Cosby's 88 years old, is there a possibility that he could end up financially busted at some point?
I think the possibility has already come to fruition with this ruling on yesterday, because his second New York home, he just put that up for sale, and he has the home in Pacific Palisades, he has the home in Philadelphia, now the home in Massachusetts, which is the primary residence, I believe that's protected because his son Ennis is buried on that property, and his daughter Inta, who passed away 2 weeks before our 2018 trial, is buried on that property, which makes it a cemetery, and it prevents anyone, the government or the courts, for selling that property and that land, auctioning it off in order to satisfy this verdict on yesterday. However, if you know he puts himself in a very difficult position, if Ms. Motzinger says no, go ahead and appeal it, because all of the money that you put up to appeal is going to accrue interest daily. And when my time comes around, especially if she's financially stable and she doesn't mind, you know, waiting, and if her attorneys feel like, hey, this is more money and more bang for our buck, we will wait too. And they're getting 33.3%, or probably a little bit more, to do this on a contingency. That's the issue that he runs into. Now she could also say, because the judge could rule, hey, look, you have this home in Pacific Palisades, here are your assets. The judge could say, make them sell those things to satisfy this judgment, this award that came down yesterday.
So is it fair to say that after this ruling yesterday that Bill Cosby is broke at this point?
I would definitely say so. He's, you know, majority of these celebrities that we see today, and I work with so many of them, and a lot of them will tell you they're more asset rich and cash poor. They don't have a lot of cash sitting around. However, when allegations like these come about, and they try to liquidate, Mr. Cosby tried to liquidate a number of his assets for many years once these allegations hit. And when people saw that he was injured, you know, when people see that you're injured and you really need the money, they devalue whatever you're trying to sell. Even though they know the value of this painting, in several paintings he was trying to sell that were probably worth $50 million apiece, people knew he was injured. So he didn't get the maximum amount for those paintings. Even some of his buildings that he sold in Santa Monica and got rid of because of these allegations, he didn't get the maximum amount for those buildings. And they lost a lot of equity into their homes because they were taking out, you know, second mortgages in order to satisfy the legal bills. Because remember, when he was in prison, AIG, which was a $400-some million policy. They settled with the women without, you know, notifying Mr. Cosby or asking permission. But every insurance policy tells you in the fine print, you know, even your car insurance, we don't have to notify you if we're going to settle. That's our right to settle. And that's our right to drop you as a client. So AIG settled with the women, and then they refused to pay Mr. Cosby the remaining amount left in his policy. Now Mrs. Cosby was given the guidance and the advice that she could sue AIG. However, she said, this is a multi-billion dollar company. If I sue them, this is going to exhaust all of our financial resources, and my husband is in prison. And my focus is to, you know, put all of the capital in order to get him his freedom. And that was the decision made. Right now, he has no coverage. He has no malpractice coverage to help come in and supplement and pay these massive verdicts. That's a very massive verdict. And you have so many other pending litigation. At 88 years old, he's going to be 89 July 12th. My advice would have been, look, why do you need to go to trial? And that was my advice, you know, two years ago after Judy Huff. Mr. Cosby, do a garden variety settlement. All of these because of this, these look-back windows being amended, the Child Survivor Act to the Adult Survivor Act. And now you have a battalion of women who have come out and filed civil suit against you. You're not in a position. You haven't worked in almost 10, 15 years. You're not in a position to, you know, defend yourself. And you have to pay your legal fees. That's too much on one person, on one family. So that was my advice. But, you know, they are people of principle. And when you're, they're from a generation, Scott, where they lived and survived the Civil Rights Movement. They lived and survived Mr. Cosby being put on Nixon's communist list as a communist because he wouldn't perform for him at the White House. They survived that. Many of his shows were canceled. They survived, you know, all types of historical movements and discrimination against black people like themselves. And they use their resources to try to level up, you know, all Americans. However, when you've been through that and you're that person of principle, it's hard to get that person to see that sometimes you have to say, I can't fight this battle anymore. And it's okay.
Have you spoken with Mr. Cosby since the verdict?
No, I have not. Mr. Cosby, you know, people call me and you know, and they told me that Mr. Cosby, what he says, and people reach out to me. But no, I have not spoken to him. The last conversation I had with Mr. Cosby is when I got several calls from media outlets about Malcolm possibly, you know, being killed in Costa Rica, and they wanted me to verify it. So I called Mr. Cosby, and we talked for hours, and he said, Andrew, call certain people, cast members from the show, and to verify. So I called Keisha Knight Pulliam, and she told me it was true. She was on the phone with Malcolm's wife, and I called Mr. Cosby, and he said, look, I need your help. Can you get me on the phone with some media outlets? And that's when I got him on the phone with Lindsay Davis from ABC News and several media entities and media personalities out of Philadelphia with various networks, and Jerika Duncan with Gayle King's show. And he did great interviews with them, and I did that based on our friendship because he needed to tell that story.
Do you think you will hear from him at this point? Because, as you say, you refer to it as a friendship, and this certainly is a difficult time in his life. Would you expect to hear from him at this point?
I don't think so. I think he's in a position right now. I know, look, I was the closest person to the entire family. And no one else was closer. His legal counsel was not as close to him. I spent a lot of time, countless hours, starting at 4 in the morning, and we would talk at least 12 to 15 times a day. I did the time with him in prison, as Mrs. Cosby said. No family members visited him. No friends. I was his only visitor every day in prison. Even in prison when he needed certain things, and his skin was breaking open, I would bring in tea tree oils and put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in the waistband of my boxes and lotion him up when he was in prison. I'm the one that got the prison warden to get him to the hospital because I noticed his eyes was red and his clarity wasn't there. And then they found out that he had 90% blockage of his carotid arteries on the left and right side. So prison saved his life. It wasn't his attorneys or anyone that walked him out of prison. I walked him out of prison. So I will always love and care for Mr. Cosby. However, I think they are distraught. And sometimes this is not the right time to call a person, especially when you made the decision that it was time to move on.
You know, Andrew, I think a lot of people listening to this interview are going to say, you, as you just said, you were the closest person with him during probably the most difficult time in his life. You consider him a friend. You did all the things you just said you did to help him while he was in prison and after prison. And yet, you don't maintain a conversation. I mean, it's almost been a year since the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner. It sounds as if something might have happened there, maybe more than just a business associate parting ways.
Well, I just think it was more of a parting ways because of financial reasons. You know, my whole objective for Mr. Cosby, as I told him, this is bigger than Mr. Cosby, is the reason why I did it. And it was to show the world what loyalty was like, but also to defend him in a manner to say this is unjust, because this was not just about black, white. It was about every young boy that's going to become a young man in this country to say, look, here's the issue. The rules have changed. The rules of dating has changed. You know, the rules have changed, so she was kissing back too. And that's why I did it. Yes, we, you know, Mr. Cosby then both ran into financial issues, and it took a number of years for them to pay me. So it was, you know, over several years that it took them to pay me. So it was finally one of those deals where sometimes when you wait 2-3 years to get paid, Scott, you have to make a decision and say, look, you guys obviously can't afford me. And finally, I was fortunate that God put me in a position to settle my invoices with them. Because if I had not done it in January of this year, I probably would have never seen a dime.
If you called Bill Cosby today, do you believe he would answer the phone? Okay. There's something I want to come back to here that happened during this trial back in January, because I think this is very poignant. This will take a second, but I want to come to Andrew on this. Newly surfaced unsealed deposition testimony from 2005, which gained renewed attention in January 2026, shows Bill Cosby admitting to acquiring Quaaludes with the intention of giving them to women he wanted to have sex with. In a 2005 deposition related to the lawsuit filed by Donna Motzinger, Cosby reportedly testified that he obtained recreational prescriptions for Quaaludes from a gynecologist friend, Dr. Leroy Amar, before 1972. Cosby's spokesperson, not Andrew, but somebody else, from January 2026, acknowledged that Cosby admitted to having the drugs, calling them disco biscuits, and stating that all of the entertainers had them, while disputing the assertion that he used them to drug women without consent. Now, Andrew, you released a very poignant statement at that time, and I want to come to this statement. You said, as the former publicist and crisis manager for Mr. Cosby, I am profoundly disturbed by the newly revealed 2005 deposition admissions regarding the provision of Quaaludes to women without their consent. It seems that I was left in the dark by Mr. Cosby and his legal team regarding these material facts. As I continue to work in the high-profile arena, my professional work is and has always been defined by an unwavering commitment to ethics, integrity, and client transparency. These revelations reported in the media are entirely antithetical to my professional standards. Andrew, you were the man who helped get Mr. Cosby out of prison. You were the spokesperson. We've had so many conversations about Mr. Cosby's relationship with women while he was in prison afterwards. How could you have been left in the dark on this? And when you heard about this, what'd you think?
Well, one of the lines that they left out, the editor left out, when I sent that statement, I said, if it was true, I would be highly disappointed. And they didn't put that part in there. And when I called the young lady I released the statement to, she was like, well, my editor took that part out. Look, the media has done that all the time. They have done that countless times. I mean, I remember the New York Times, I sent them a statement, and I said, well, that's not, you didn't print my full statement. And I had Mr. Cosby on the other end listening to the call. And the guy from the New York Times said, Mr. Bowley, he was like, well, we're only allowed so many words, and your statement was too long, so we had to edit it. And that's our, we make that call to edit and not print your entire statement. So a lot of the words were left out of my statement with that statement. Because I said part of it was, if it was true, I would be highly disappointed in this. However, you know, I wasn't around or aware of what he said in 2005. I didn't start with Mr. Cosby until 2010. So all that is true. However, you know, I'm disappointed that this would come out at this point in time. If you go pull my interview that same day I did live on News Nation and you play that interview, you would hear me talk about that in its entirety.
Mm-hmm. When we look at this, because his spokesperson at that time in January did acknowledge that he admitted to having these drugs, calling them disco biscuits. So it seems like there was even an admittance from Mr. Cosby's team at that time that this did happen. And I believe this statement that you gave me, I believe you had sent me that statement, Andrew. I'm pretty sure.
I did send a statement about disco biscuits. That's what it was called. However, Mr. Cosby he's always said, even during the trials, the 2017 trial, we brought Dr. Millman in, who's a renowned toxicologist, to be our expert witness. And he talked to the jury and explained to them what Quaaludes were. Quaaludes never made you lethargic. You did not know your surroundings when you took Quaaludes. Quaaludes were a lower level of what we see today of ecstasy. Women like to take Quaaludes because it increased their climax during sex. So it was a deposition that Teresa Saragonese did, who was one of the alleged victims of Mr. Cosby. And she, in her deposition, she said Mr. Cosby was performing on stage. When he got off stage, I asked him if he had Quaaludes. He gave me some Quaaludes, and we went back to his Rolls Royce and had sex. She admitted to that.
Right.
Quaaludes have never been a drug that made a person lethargic. Even when we went to the Playboy Mansion before Hugh Hefner died, and our attorney at the time, Angela Grusa, we took a videographer with us to the Playboy Mansion. And at that time, in that age, even with Hugh Hefner, he said, you know, yes, Quaaludes were, we had buckets of Quaaludes at the Playboy Mansion in the 60s and 70s. We had buckets of rolled marijuana joints in the 60s and 70s. That wasn't uncommon. So Mr. Cosby wasn't around peddling drugs or giving women drugs without their consent. However, the media was able to take that deposition, knowing he had this upcoming civil trial, and they made it look as though it was something new. The day that came out, I got hit with flooded with over, you know, hundreds of requests for a statement. And when they got my statement, they didn't print all of my statement. I went live on Jesse Weber's show on News Nation that same day. And I urge you to go pull that interview, Scott, and play it to your listeners. And you will hear what I said.
I will. And I say, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I think there's more to talk about here. I was just saying that the statement from late January was the statement that I read there about as Mr. Cosby's former publicist and crisis manager. I believe you had sent me that statement, and I don't.
You're correct.
I think I read it for word for word there, so it was not. You know, there is nothing in that statement that you had sent me about if this is true.
Right, and I acknowledge that maybe I sent you the wrong statement, and that's why I went on News Nation to clarify it.
Right. And I'm glad you did here, because I think truth is important.
Right.
When we look at this, why has Bill Cosby not been able to get away from this, and why does it continue? A lot of people are listening right now, and they're going to say, well, if he did these things, and if he did rape these women, and that's what courts are finding, then he deserves to have this happen to him. But it's been over a decade now. He's been in prison at one point. He's been out of prison. Why can he not get away from this, civil suit-wise, the stigma of it? I interviewed him back in 2022, which I'm sure you remember, and he said he wanted to go back to work. He got killed when he said that. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Why can he not get past this?
Well, simple. They started with him. He is the whole sexual allegation movement started with Bill Cosby. It was born out of the name and reputation of Mr. Cosby. And because of that, they started with him. They're going to end with him. They're going to let him be the poster child. They have decided, just like America put the halo of America's dad over his head, he didn't ask for that title. America and the industry gave him that title. Now they're saying, we want that title back. And that's how the entertainment industry works. And that's just how the world works in general. When they want a title back, they know they just can't take it back from you and remove it after giving it to you for decades on top of decades. The only way they get to remove and scrub you of a title that's humanizing to you and it makes the world look at you in the eyes of saying, I want a father like Mr. Cosby, is to say, let's come up with a allegation that's so detrimental and so heinous that if we put this allegation that he raped and drugged over 60 plus women, we scrub him of that title. However, once we do this, we can never stop with him. I remember Mr. Cosby telling me, and I recorded it, When I picked him up from prison, I recorded the entire time in the car, video recorded, with his permission. And he said, wow, you're going to go down in history. This is civil rights, Andrew. This is civil rights. And I said, Mr. Cosby, no, it's not civil rights. It's because their civil rights is different for us. Their civil rights is to tarnish our reputation, to murder us in the street for no reason. I said, this is about equal rights. We want the same rights for everybody. You deserve the same rights. You were vindicated. The Pennsylvania State Supreme Court said, if you don't get him out here in 10 minutes, you're going to have a problem. Not only did they get him out there, they awarded him, you know, over $2 to $3 million for giving him that unjust wanted vacation, 2 years and 6 months of unwanted vacation. You look at Kevin Spacey. You look at all of these other people who've been accused. They get to go back to work. Everybody gets to go back to work. They get to go back and have a life. Mr. Cosby, because they started with him, they have said, you would never work a day in your life. However, Mr. Cosby always told me, he said, as long as there's greed, I will always be able to work. I'll share this with your audience, Scott, that I haven't shared with anybody in an interview. When Mr. Cosby got out of prison, he received a call from Tom Warner, Warner Carsey. They had the largest distribution deal in the history of America, where they were the distributor of Mr. Cosby's show. Tom Warner and Marcy Carsey each owns 25% of The Cosby Show and 25% of A Different World. Tom Warner also owns the Boston Red Sox. Well, Mr. Cosby owns 50% of those shows. Tom Warner called Mr. Cosby and said, we want to reboot A Different World. Mr. Cosby practiced with me 12 times on how to say no to the offer. They wanted him to remove his name. First, they offered him $100 million. Then they offered him $200 million. He said no. And I was like, Mr. C, you need the money. He was like, look, Andrew, it's about principle. And I want you to see, and my teaching, my lesson is for you is to show you that you cannot be bald. Now, he was right. As long as greed exists, he will always work. Right now, he just inked a deal where Netflix is greenlit the reboot of A Different World, and they're shooting it right now on Clark Atlanta University's campus. And he's getting money from that for doing that deal. However, you don't think that these attorneys and these alleged victims out here don't know about that. They know. And they put that information out when they got his financials, and they're going to break him. They're saying, how dare anybody let him work? But they started with him, so they're going to end with him. He will not get any relief, even in his death, because if he passes away today with civil litigation pending, they still get to sue his estate.
You know, Andrew, obviously Mr. Cosby has had some health issues over the last few years, certainly with his eyes, certainly with his heart. He's 88 years old. None of us go on forever. What health condition is he in at this point?
When we, the year I got Mr. Cosby out of prison, we had a call scheduled. I told him I was going to be having dinner with a comedian, George Wallace. And he said, well, set it up. And this was later in the year, around September, October. And I had gotten a call. I had been calling Mr. Cosby, and he wasn't answering. And then their chef, I called the chef line, the line to the kitchen. And he said, Andrew, Mr. Cosby, we found him unconscious, and we rushed him to the hospital in Boston. And Mrs. Cosby, you know, was giving me updates, and finally he was able to get someone to let him use their cell phone. And there was a Dr. Rowe, who was his doctor, who played for the New England Patriots. And now he's a renowned heart specialist in Boston. And he put me on the phone with Dr. Rowe to speak with him. And he just called me. And he said, look, I knew that I was in the airport when he called me. And I was so happy to hear from him. And so he said, look, they put me on a heart monitor, and I'm fine. And I remember him telling me, he said, hey, Mrs. Cosby wants me to have a new name. I have an Asian name now, and it's called Lay Low, because I need to lay low and not be in the spotlight anymore. So, yeah, he has his health issues, and, you know, he stayed out of the public eye because of those health issues. So, you know, when you see things like this happen on yesterday, the whole deal what they're trying to do to Mr. Cosby, in my opinion, they're trying to murder him. They're trying to put so much pressure on him that it wipes him out physically, where he can't handle it anymore with the stress. And that's sad. Well, that's disappointing.
Well, and I think, Andrew, a lot of people think about that. I mean, you can stay out of the public spotlight as far as going out and doing a comedy show or a personal appearance, but as far as people finding out that you're broke or losing these lawsuits, which get attention in the New York Times when it happens, I mean, you know the man personally. Do these things have a physical and mental impact on him?
Mr. Cosby is a very strong person, but he's also a human being. And Mrs. Cosby is a strong person, but she's a human being. And it has a profound effect on them, on their lives, and on their health. I've been on the phone with both of them, and sometimes up to 2 in the morning, just can't get over certain things. Can't get over why it's happening. You know, and I know across the pond, people believe in conspiracy theories, but they had so many conspiracy theories on why it was happening. However, you know, media wasn't going to play that. When you put those various conspiracy theories out there, the first thing they say, are they crazy? No, it's not. It's real. You know, but Mr. Cosby always felt that the reason why this happened to him, because I'll never forget when he got out of prison, he said, Andrew, I'm understanding that this happened to me and it went down against me. Is when I settled with Constant in 2005 and President Obama was running for office and he asked for my support and told me, I told him, look, I just settled with this woman. And he said, no, we have a machine. We can protect you. And R.E. Emanuel, who's Rahm Emanuel's brother, who owned William Morris, who Mr. Cosby had been with, they had been his agency for almost 50 years. They had all the receipts of the women, and he said, I will always believe that was their retribution towards me because I went on Larry King Live and I supported some guy who was an unnamed guy for president. And he always regretted that. And he always felt, when Mrs. Cosby felt, that's when they opened the floodgates to say, we're not going to protect him against these type of allegations.
Now, who would they be? Who they would not protect him?
He just felt that the machine, the Obamas, you know, R. Emanuel, that because he did not come out and campaign and support President Obama, that was just his theory. Right. However, it was something that, you know, the media was never going to play.
Well, it's a very interesting thought, and you know, who knows what happened here. I think many people see this as an American tragedy, whether or not you believe Mr. Cosby committed these acts or not, because you take one of the most high-profile, if not the most high-profile entertainer, successful entertainer of the last half century, and here in 2026, he's still alive, he's 88 years old, he cannot do a comedy show, he cannot go on a network show, he's broke, as we've covered in this interview, and when he dies, whenever that may be, unfortunately, it's going to say, not America's dad, which it would have said 15 years ago, it's going to say, accused serial rapist, or however they put it. And
well, look, they're gonna call him. I can tell you what it's gonna say. It's gonna say, you know, the same title they're giving Epstein. They're gonna call him, you know, disgrace monster. Comedian Bill Cosby passes away. Well, you know, and that's what they're gonna say. And it's so sad because, you know, I remember sitting on the projects. I grew up in Bessemer, Alabama, and sitting on the projects of a cement floor. My grandmother, I turned to her. I was watching Mr. Cosby teach me my ABCs on the electric company. And I said I was going to do that one day at 5 years old. And she said, I believe you. And to have had the opportunity to work in the media business, worked for ABC and Fox before I went out on my own and started my firm in 2007, I got the honor to represent one of the greatest, you know, entertainers in the world. Not just him, but his family. And I will always be grateful that God gave me that opportunity. And I give all the credit to God. And sometimes, Scott, you know, I think what Mr. Cosby has to do now, you know, to preserve who he is, and is to say, you know what, let me settle these matters. Because what I don't need, he did not need this trial or this verdict. For what? What did he have to prove? They had already painted you as this monster. Going to trial, what difference was this going to make? He didn't need to go to trial.
Well, and Andrew, I think 2 points I want to make here before we run out of time. In all your time with Mr. Cosby and all the information that has come out and continues to trickle out over time and the verdict here, have you ever doubted Mr. Cosby's innocence? Have you ever thought that maybe he did commit some of these crimes? And do you have any regrets in your time with Mr. Cosby?
I truly believe in Mr. Cosby's innocence. But when Mr. Cosby lived in an era, Scott, an era where, and grew up in an era where we've seen the movie The Color Purple. My grandmother married my grandfather, who I'm named after, and they adopted me and my brother to carry on the family last name because my mom was only child. My grandmother was 14 when she married my grandfather. He was in his mid-20s. Okay, that was the culture of that time. Mr. Cosby grew up in that era. And because of growing up in that era, it wasn't uncommon to see, as Judy Huff said in her deposition and on the witness stand in 2023, it wasn't uncommon to see 14, 15, 16-year-olds at the Playboy Mansion during that era. That was just the time. And I knew Mr. Cosby was just a part of a culture that America is trying to eradicate, to say it never existed. But that's a lie, because it did exist. And since I knew that culture existed through my own story of growing up in here, and the story of how my grandmother and how Bay and Dad had met, I understood where he was coming from. Based on everything that I know, I don't believe Mr. Cosby willingly drugged or raped anybody. I do believe that he inherited and became the poster child for what was going on in the culture, and every entertainer was was seeing younger women or women who were hanging out at the Playboy Mansion who I would just say right now should have never been there, but that was the culture. And a lot of these young girls were at the Playboy Mansion at these parties hanging with these celebrities. And some of them did not, you know, tell their age. Some of them looked older than what they were. And some of them were very promiscuous and out there. So Mr. Cosby was the only one that they saw to accuse. What about all of the other people from the 60s and 70s that were out there? Now you see stories coming out about Jose Chavez and they're taking down his statues in his death. Come on. You know, how do you do that to the person with no evidence or proof? No one went to the police or reported anything to the authorities, but when you look at these particular women that are alleged victims of Mr. Cosby, what the media was able to do was show pictures of what they looked like when they were younger to make it and show pictures of Mr. Cosby in his old age to say, oh, this old dirty man was raping and drugging these beautiful young women. No, these women are in their 80s. Well, so if you ask me the question, would I do it again? Of course I would, because I did it for the culture, not just the black culture, but the American culture.
And the final question I have today, Andrew, and I think a lot of people have wondered this, and maybe even more, especially at this point, and I think we all understand Mr. Cosby's desire to stay out of the spotlight, but as long as these cases are happening, they're going to continue to happen. It's followed in the spotlight. He doesn't have any money, as we've discussed at this point. Why has he never done a live interview with somebody who he trusts, who's going to ask tough questions, but he's going to be given a chance to answer, to try to explain all of this in over a decade now?
Well, he did one live interview on TV with Lindsay Davis when during the 50th anniversary of Selma. We flew on his private plane to Selma, and he did an interview with her. But he didn't really say much. His attorneys have told him not to speak. I disagreed. And that's why I had him on your show and so many other shows on a number of occasions, because I disagreed with that strategy from his lawyers. You know, don't speak. You know, you have the right to remain silent, and anything you say can be used against you. That might be true, but we live in a society now, world today, where social media can tell your story in a millisecond, and all it has to do is go viral, and people only hear what somebody else is saying about you. They're telling their story. Mr. Cosby, you know, the suits are already here. I understand why he didn't get on the witness stand and testify, or, you know, because in a civil trial, the burden of proof is not on him, so he doesn't even have to be present. However, you know, Mr. Cosby has it's a great platform right now to say, you know what, the gloves are off. Y'all have already broken me. I'm going to get out here and tell my story and tell you what actually happened. People are fearful of that because Mr. Cosby's older. He's like your grandparents. They have no filter. And when you have no filter, you might say something that can put you in jeopardy, and that's what they're fearful about. However, my strategy as a strategist would say, you're already in jeopardy. What more can they do to you?
Well, and I think that's what people are wondering. When the money runs out and when the lawsuits are still coming and you're still losing them, I think a lot of people feel, you know, at this age in your life, when you're almost in your ninth decade and you've got health issues, if you're ever going to tell it, you know, this might be the time to tell it. And if you happen to talk to him, send him our way, Andrew. I certainly appreciate it.
Scott, I definitely will. You have been a great person. You've been a great journalist. You ask the poignant and tough questions, and you don't do gotcha journalism. And that's what I really appreciate about you, because that talent and that piece of art, which you are a piece of art, like a Picasso. Picasso or a Henry Tanner or a Elizabeth Catlin or a Charles Wilson. You're that type of artist. You have that type of artistry to where you tell the story and you allow people to tell the story with no sensationalism and no additives put into the story. So thank you for being who you are. And I would definitely reach out and ask Mr. Cosby if he would want to speak with you.
I'd appreciate that. And like I said, as you know, and I think he knows from the two appearances, I come with no judgment, and what he says will be what he says, and it will not be edited. Andrew, I thank you for all the kind words and all the kind appearances over the years. I'm sure we will talk again in the future, and what a story it has been. Andrew Wyatt, former crisis manager and publicist for Mr. Bill Cosby, and maybe we'll hear from Mr. Cosby in the next few days. Who knows what will happen? Thank you, Andrew.
Scott, you're more than welcome. Thank you, listeners, and you all have a positive day, okay?
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got to go to break. We'll be back right after this.
Be respected. Remember, if you want to make A Voice of a People a better program,